across the world. We're touching countries all over the world today. And we don't know who at one given time, directed by the Holy Spirit, just is tuning in and watching this. And that's a life-changing moment. So this morning, I'm going to ask a couple things. You enjoy your meal, okay? If you come ready to enjoy your meal, I promise you this, you'll enjoy the meal, okay? If you're hungry, Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger, for they shall be filled. So are you hungry?
Yes.
Amen. Well, wow, that was a puny hungry, man. I said, are you hungry?
Yes.
All right.
You
know, I don't encourage anybody to do this, but my dad tells a story years ago. Their family, they had 12, 14 people sit around the dinner table. And his mom would fix, Bree a big Sunday go meeting dinners. And it was a little bit not normal because you had that many people sitting around all the time eating. And he said that one of his brothers, they had a big old platter of chicken in the middle, and one of his brothers reached for it, and one of the other brothers, not meaning to on purpose, but took his fork and was going to stab a big piece, a thigh or breast, whatever that piece was, and they were so hungry, they were so wanting to get that chicken, he just took that fork and went right into the hand of his brother. So, are you that hungry? Now, I would say, don't stick your fork in somebody else's hand, okay? But everybody, there's room at the table. And that's what David told Mephibosheth. Says, you can come and eat my table every day. Not just on Sundays, Mephibosheth. Not just on the Sabbath, but you can come and eat at my table. And that's what the king of Babylon told Jehoiachin too, after he let him out of prison and he changed his clothes. Says, you can sit at my table anytime and you can dine at my table. So how many know that we're sitting at a king's table today, ready to dine? Okay. Now, I said there's another thing. I want you to message somebody. If you've got an appointment a little bit early, unless you're going to the hospital, I want you to message him and say, hey, you can wait on me because I'm eating. Oh, Jesus, give us grace. You have my permission to text that person and say, just wait on me. I'm eating, okay? Because how many knows that this is the most important eating that you'll do all week? Amen? Amen. So, I'm going to share with you this morning just a few things, and Mrs. R is going to help me. And in fact, if I can have a couple guys, maybe knows where this is going right here. I need this up a little bit more here so everybody can see it, because I am going to write something on it. So there's a couple of you maybe know where that should go, okay? Just bring it up here, and as long as you don't block Pastor Heath, okay? All right. We don't want to keep him away from the table either, all right? You know, my mother used to say about eating, if you're eating at the table and you make eating noises, how many know you make eating noises? Are you guys with me today? How many knows you make eating noises? Like, that's good. You know, you make chomping, eating noises, and you know, you're not talking much. How many knows when you're making eating noises and not talking much, that means that you're enjoying your meal? How many knows that?
In some cultures, that's etiquette, and it shows respect to the chef if you slurp your food, like in Asia in certain places.
Yeah, certain countries like Southeast Kentucky, like that's where I'm from, you know. And my mom, she from a different culture, you know, but she loved to cook, and that meant something to her. So when the kids were eating and, you know, bragging on her food, and and wanting to be there to eat, you know, it made her feel so awesome, so great. So I'm going to say, the more you enjoy your food, the harder I preach, and the better it is. You don't think that's true, do you? Do you brag on your kids when they're out there playing ball? Come on, Reen, hit that ball. Come on. Get that eyes. Woo! Way to go, baby. Way to go, baby. Way to go, baby. Come on. They call that bullpen talk. All right. Okay. So this morning, I'm thankful for the privilege. And it's nothing that I've done. It's nothing that I ever could have done. But this morning, we're going to talk about something very important, even though we've been talking about this on the thought and the theme of keep going, okay? And how many knows? I pray that you have just turned that over in your spirit each day. And some people post things all the time about that, so I know that it's in their, that it's getting in their spirit. But there's truth to that. And today, I just simply like to say, we're going to talk about courage under fire. Actually, in the 1990s, there was a movie starring some of your old ladies in here, heartthrob Denzel Washington. And don't say, oh, you know, he just Denzel, okay? Matt Damon, okay, if you like Matt Damon, he was in it too. Meg Ryan, I don't know. All you sanctified, holy, righteous people in here would never admit to that. But those are pretty big people and movies, right? All right, they might be a little bit out of date right now, but they are. And this movie about the Gulf War and about the courage to get through. There was a Medal of Honor. There was fighting for someone's, you know, fact that they earned a medal. There was a lot of things in this movie reflecting about what courage is. But I'm going to share with you, and, you know, I know what time it is, so I do covet your prayers, and I do respect your time, but more importantly, I respect the time of the Lord, okay? So I will, as best I can, stay within His guidelines and not infringe on that, okay? So I do want Mrs. R to share a story about lions. It's a true illustration about lions. Maybe a thing in nature about lions that you didn't know about lions. But we know lions as being a creature of great what? Power. Okay. Well, I was looking for another word, but that. Oh, I heard somebody say it. Everybody shout it out. Courage. A lion is known for his great courage. That's why he's called the king of the jungle. When he actually don't live in a jungle. But that's what he's known for, his great courage. And he dominates the savannah through his great courage and great strength. And someone said that earlier. But this morning, I want to share with you, we live in uncommon times. How many knows that we're living in uncommon times? And Mr. Stidham, I appreciate this brother over here and that youngin' I had in school years ago. He wouldn't want me to call him a youngin', but he'll always be my youngin'. Him and his brother, Daniel, who I've known over the years. But you know what? I had a God encounter at Toyota Kingsport the other day. And I met Mr. Stidham, and I guess I had over the years, but we hadn't talked in a long time. And he shared a little bit about his testimony, the courage that he displayed in overcoming a lot of things in his life himself. And this morning, but I ran into him, and I found out that these two youngins that I had in school, that was their dad. And I didn't know that. And he's working over in Kingsport. So, you know, that was a God moment. And God arranged that time, rearranged that time so I could be there, so I could connect And so this brother said, I'll be there. And you listen, you wouldn't believe the people tell me, I'll be there, Pastor. But he's here. Come on. I think that's his first time among this crazy wild bunch, okay? And this morning, but people got enough of Jesus here to drive people crazy. I mean, you know, you love Jesus, and I know you do. You're here this morning. But I want to talk about this courage under fire and how God is calling us. The thing that is it you sent me or somebody sent me? I don't know who sent who. I sent some people, but Bill Johnson, who's the pastor, leader at Bethel Ministries out there in California, but he had this podcast about a baptism in courage, which is a powerful thing, and he was sharing about the need of courage today. And you know what? I believe he's spot on, because we live in uncommon times. Uncommon. These are not common times. How many know that? These are not ordinary times. And knowing that we live in uncommon, out of sorts times, it calls for an uncommon courage. Not just courage to get up and get in your automobile. You don't know it's going to get to work or not, because, you know, it's been failing to start a few times. Yes, that might take courage. Or the courage to maybe share something at work with your superior that, you know, that takes courage. You know, we use courage a lot, and we don't even realize that we use courage. But there is a dominating factor upon the planet today that's trying to rule and reign over people's lives, and primarily in the church. And that's called fear. Well, I said fear, and everybody talks about it all the time. And that's the quietest moment we've had all morning. How many know that you're facing fear? I want to say this. Fear may be a giant, but it's whatever you feed the most becomes your greatest fear. So this morning, it takes an uncommon courage to overcome. It takes an uncommon, it takes an abnormal, a supernatural courage, not just our courage, but the courage that's been downloaded by the Holy Spirit that will live in your life, resonate in your life, that when we are faced in dire times and great situations as we are today, it's knowing that we have courage to face our enemy, to be on the battlefield, face our giant, and keep going anyway. Amen. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is facing your fear and still going on. We've had a shift in culture, and this is not news, because this is all over the country, and ministries and pastors and evangelists sharing this, a shift in culture, a different paradigm, just a different situation than what is normal, because we're not living in normal times. In fact, Paul said to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we've read this before, that in the last days, perilous or dangerous times will prevail or will come. We know that. So knowing that we face dangerous times and all the things that we're looking at in our country, all the things that different countries are looking around the world, our battle, our fights with different things. And I want to share, and I want you all to share with me and be real with me this morning. Maybe this will be more teaching and more sharing, but I want you to hang with me. Remember, you're supposed to already text your friend that's waiting on you and saying, I'm eating, just hang on. Okay. All right. In fact, you invite them to come and join your meal. Okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody still with me? So maybe Mrs. R can write with me too, write for me just in a second, but I want to share just a couple thoughts, and then I want her to share a story. We're going to get to the scripture. So many scriptures this morning that are on my heart. In the book of Joshua chapter 1, and you can write these down in the margin of your paper. We'll look at those. I think this big old guy right over here has got a tattoo on his arm with the first one, maybe. Joshua 1 and 9. What God commanded Joshua to do. This is my command, Joshua. Be strong and courageous. No, this is a command. It's not, well, if you want to, you can be strong or courageous. No, you be courageous and you be strong. Amen. Come here, boo. Oh, man, Mr. West Virginia. No, he was Mr. Southwest Virginia, Mr. Norton, J.I. Burton first. But he knows a little bit about football, okay? How many knows that boo should know a little bit about football? Now, I'm a basketball player, Gabby. I don't know a lot about football. I pretend to know a little bit, and I do like the game when it's exciting. But, you know, there's stuff about football I don't know. I do know this. There's something in football game called the red zone. How many knows ever heard of the red zone? I bet some of, oh, well, again, no women in here raising their hand. Well, you, okay, I'm sorry. Did you see Tina? Well, that grit in her, and that, well, I know. Okay, yes, I know she does. But no, for the most part, unless you're children involved in the game, you probably wouldn't know a lot about football, Willie. She's just sitting there saying, oh, I'm lost, Pastor Roy. Okay? But this guy will tell you about the red zone. This is important because I feel like the church is in the red zone. You got to understand what I said. It is. Tell me what the red zone, boo. Yes, tell us what the red zone is.
The red zone is a dangerous place for either team because red zone is 25 yards from the end zone, so either you're about to get scored on or you're going to be doing the score. And it's all on the line. You only got 25 yards, and it's shortened field, and there's more people in that zone, and it makes it more congested. So we are in the red zone.
Oh, wow. Think about that. So the greatest opportunity to score lies within that
red zone.
Mm-hmm. And the greatest opportunity to defend the score is in the
red zone.
Mm-hmm. There's where games are won or lost. It's in this time. And boo, you know, that's powerful because games are won or lost in that red zone. And you've been there many times.
Yeah.
You've caught or received in the red zone different times.
Yes.
Or the philosophy or the objective of that team going into that game is to stay in that zone as many times as you can. Because that's your greatest opportunity to what?
To score.
So how many knows that the church is setting in its greatest opportunity, even though we're faced in a very serious and dangerous time?
Yes.
Amen. You hit it out of the park, brother.
You,
that was your greatest touchdown right there. Greatest touchdown right there. Hallelujah. So how many is still with me? So somebody learned something about a red zone today, okay? How many learned something about a red zone? I got Hunter in here already knows about the red zone. You're a defender, right? You play defense, right? Are you offense? You're both. You do both, okay? So you know what that means, don't you, Hunter? All right? What we do in this moment is important. This is win or lose. What we do now is our greatest moment in the history of the church. Do you understand that? This generation, you will see the coming of the Messiah. You'll see Jesus come back, splitting the sky. You'll see that. Coming to a theater real soon, near you. Okay? So, he says, Jesus said, when you see all these things happening, he said, lift up your eyes, for your redemption is coming near. It's near. Jesus is coming. It's near. So this morning, what we do in this moment of uncommon problems and things that are not normal, things that are not normal, a time of great heaviness. How many senses or has sensed a time of great heaviness? Heaviness. Come on, be real with me. Help me out today. I know if you raise your hand, you're going to say, well, they'll think I'm a wimp. Listen, without Jesus, you are a wimp. Okay? On your best day, you're a wimp. Okay? We need Jesus. Somebody say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need him. I need him. I need him. I need him. And this time of great heaviness, this time of great pressure, how many senses of pressure coming against you? Not a normal pressure, an uncommon pressure, a heaviness or pressure you can't even define or sometimes explain. On your best day, a day you should get up with a brightness, you just feel this pressure. You feel this heaviness trying to download to you. This is important. This is important. Dark, oppressive thoughts. We're living in a darkness. We're a darkness. This we talked about with Steve Shaw yesterday about a book written by a guy that I can't even pronounce his name. Ferretti, okay. And he wrote a book back in the 80s, I think, called This Present Darkness. We are living in an uncommon darkness when things are becoming more dark. And so we have to be the uncommon light in the time of darkness. We have to be the beacon in the light. Listen, we have to be the lighthouse in the storm. We have to be with Jesus. And you'll say, well, Jesus is the lighthouse. Yeah, I know I know the Henson family sung that song years ago. But listen, I'm not talking. Jesus is the lighthouse. But he says, I've gone away and you're going to become the light. You're going to become the light. You're the light that's on the hill. Where do they put a lighthouse? On the most significant visible place there is.
Also the most dangerous place.
Most dangerous place. It's on a rocky cliff. It's on a rocky shore somewhere where it's dangerous for those ships navigating in and out of those waters. And they see that lighthouse and it gives them hope. They know what lies ahead. Let me tell you something. We can't be a part of the party, the culture that's melting down. We can't be a part of the culture that's falling apart. We can't be a part of the culture that's doing what the culture's doing. We have got to make a difference. We have got to be the difference. We've got to display an uncommon courage and keep going. No matter how hard it gets. No matter how hard it gets. We got to do that this morning. We need courage. Somebody say, I need courage. I want you to look at this courage, this word courage. And I don't know where the chalk went to. Oh, Jesus, help me. I got 9 zillion things to talk about and not that much time. So I got courage. All right, we got courage. Everybody shout courage. I need courage. Keith, I need courage. I need courage. I need courage, not just any courage. Oh, you know. And when this allegory was written, it was written back in the end of the Great Depression or during hard times. But anybody ever heard of a child story called The Wizard of Oz? Oh, come on. All you sanctified people are not going to admit that I ever watched. As tame, as laid back as that was. But there was an underlying message. That's why it's called an allegory. It was a political note. Addressing people during their difficult times in this nation. But all those characters that played that had, there was a word or message surrounding them. And one of them who said they were going to the land of Oz and they wanted to find an answer to their problem. How many knows we're all looking for an answer to our problems? Come on, Jesus, come on. Lord, get in somebody right now. Get inside somebody right now. Get inside somebody right now. We need an uncommon faith to rise up in here and receive the word of God. They were all looking for something. Dorothy was looking for Kansas. Oh, we're looking for home. Oh, I'm so glad you're back home, Bree and Hannah. How many knows there's no place like home? Oh, there's no place like home. How many know? There's no place like home. You've got to have uncommon courage because I can almost see the lights of home. You got to keep going. You got to keep going. Oh, you got to keep going. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. The lights of home, the lights of heaven, yes. A light such as we've never seen or witnessed before. That light of heaven lives in you. Do you know that? Amen. It's the beacon that keeps driving you, Henry. Keeps compelling you to keep going. Even though you get tired, even though you get aggravated, even though you lose your passion, lose your desire, something inside you won't let you quit. Because there is a determination in you to make it home. Make it home. Oh, if I could just get home. Abram said, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God Almighty. Whoa, Jesus. We're doing do that. Mrs. R, I know you're hanging on. You're such a good person. I'm thankful that God blessed me with such a wonderful wife. You know why? You know why? Because she puts up with me. Lord Jesus. Listen, that will make anybody. That will be the greatest red zone right there in anybody's life. And I'm serious. She knows that. She's just gracious and nice. Courage. I'm going to get back to that. Hang on there. The ability to do something that frightens you. Strength in the face of pain or grief. Strength. It's an uncommon strength that rises up in you and says, I can make it. That's what Paul says. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the courage and the strength to keep going forward. How many knows my strength comes from the Lord? Miss Selena, it doesn't come from me. It comes from Jesus. Anybody with me today? Do you need strength? I'm going to tell you, if you don't think you need it, you're going to need it the days ahead, my friend. And you'll remember this message by this crazy old... Okay. I'm going to quit calling myself names. C.S. Lewis said, courage is not simply one of the virtues. It is, but it's the form of every virtue at a testing point, because everybody's got a testing point. Do you hear what I'm saying? Everybody's got a testing point. Do you keep going or do you turn back? Do you keep going or do you quit? Do you keep going or do you quit? You lay out. Listen, you wouldn't believe it, the people who have quit. Because there's a cultural shift. They were talking about that, how the dynamics of the church and how we need to rethink the way we do this going forward. Because, listen, there are people just opting out because they don't want to be a part anymore. Well, listen, that's part of what the enemy's designed to do, is to divide and separate you so you become an easier target. But we all need each other. Listen, we all need courage. But Tina, I need your courage. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Hallelujah. We all need, our children need our courage. Our children need our courage. What will we display to them in times of testing? Will the God that's greater rise up in us in these dark times? Like Paul and Silas from prison. They weren't there because they broke a law. Only the law, some religious set law. Because of their preaching the gospel, that's the law they broke. And I think that there are people in the world today that their resolve have been tested at that moment because they have been imprisoned or executed because of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It happened in Paul's day. Jesus said it would happen. Jesus told his disciples, he said, men will hate you and revile you because of my name's sake. You'll be persecuted. All those things came to pass. All of those disciples died a horrific death, except John. He was exiled, and they tried to kill him, as he said, but he wouldn't burn, and he wouldn't die. How many knows that the church has got to have something inside of you that won't burn or won't die? Burn our church, but we go on. Hallelujah! Come against my character, but we go on. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Now, I'm about ready to scare some of you half to death. I'm about ready to go old school and start jumping pews right here. You say, oh, Pastor R, don't do that. Hallelujah.
Dad. Dad.
Yes, go right ahead.
No, I just want to, I got to throw this in. There's a great boxing trainer named Cus D'Amato, and he was old and he was eccentric. And right before he died, he got a hold of a young, troubled youth named Mike Tyson, ended up making him champion of the world. But a lot of boxing trainers, they teach their fighters, you don't be scared of nothing. Don't be scared of nothing. And so they psych themselves up. We can do that spiritually. And that works to the first time you really get in trouble. And then you're scared, and then everything your trainer ever told you is out the window, and you don't know what to do. And if you've ever seen a fighter do that, you'll see that. Cus D'Amato taught Mike Tyson something different.
Yes.
He said everybody's scared. He said the coward and the champion face the same fear.
Yes.
He says what you do with that fear, how you respond, if you respond and you go forward anyway, scared anyway, throwing punches, that's what will make you a champion. Mike Tyson said every fight he ever fought, he was scared to death walking in the ring. And in my generation, he was the greatest of all time because he remembered the advice of that old warrior that said, keep throwing punches anyway, scared or not.
Yes. Lakin, there's a picture. There's an image I sent you with a guy standing on one arrow going this way, one arrow going that way. There's a quote, and I'm not sure who exactly said it. It said, feed your faith or starve your fears. Feed your faith or starve your fears. Feed your faith or starve your fears. How many knows that we have a choice? We can feed our faith. We can feed our faith or we can starve our fears. Everything okay, Sister Kalinda? Okay, well, let's pray for them. I don't know who they are right now. Who? Okay? Right now, I want you to point your hand towards Sister Cleta, and we're going to pray right now. This family needs uncommon courage right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray for this family, Lord. I pray healing right now, Lord, that, Lord, you work beyond the scope of our natural abilities, what we can do. You work beyond that, Lord. So right now, we submit this to you. We submit this to you, that you will hold this family, you'll comfort them, and the power of the Holy Spirit will be manifested in their lives. And not only in their lives, but those that minister, like, Lord, like Sister Cleta. Give her an uncommon courage. Lord, right now, strengthen this family in Jesus' mighty name. Hold them in your great arms of love and comfort in the name of Jesus. Can we all shout amen? Amen. 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 So I want to talk to you just a second about another word, okay? And it's something that we have during times of adversity and great trials and great testing. This is something that you don't hear. I mentioned it the other day, but I don't know if anybody ever called it, but there is a word called grit. How many has ever heard of grit? It's not what you get in sand when you put something, you drop a marshmallow in sand and you eat the marshmallow and you get grit. I'm not talking about that kind of grit. I'm talking about what you need and your person. What you need. Everybody say, I need grit. I need more grit. I need more grit. Grit is courage and resolve. It's strength of character. It's strength of character. You have that up there, Miss Lakin, about the footprints right there. I'm going to share a scripture with you this morning found in the book of Luke. And this is, I'll read it from the Passion Translation. Well, I'll read it in the King James verse. And Luke 21, 26, people really don't know this scripture is here, but this scripture is a powerful scripture. It's one of those that people read, or they read over, or they don't pay attention to. These are the words of Jesus. He said, men's hearts will fail them for fear. In the last day, men's hearts will fail them because of fear. I'm talking about anxiety. I'm talking about sicknesses and illnesses related to anxiety. How many know that anxiety will take you down? Come on, get real with me. You all text me stuff all the time, and then when God's talking about it, oh, that's not me. Come on, we don't battle flesh. You heard that scripture? But we're all battling something. And one of the greatest enemies that you're battling right now is fear of these times. Jesus said men's hearts will fail them. Men's hearts will give out on them. Now, in the translation of scripture, the word heart means courage. Men's courage will fail them. Not just physical illnesses related to heart disease or related to stress. How many knows that stress and anxiety will make you sick? Oh, some of you don't know that, do you? It'll tear your stomach all to pieces. It'll raise your blood pressure. It will mess with your mind. It will cause you to be depressed. It'll cause you to think obsessive thoughts. It'll cause you to chase your thoughts. Because you're not wrestling just a word. You're wrestling against a spirit that's behind taking you down. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, we preach about it, we talk about it. But part of the healing and resolving grit that we need in these times is facing your fear. Calling it out. It's not going to define me or box me in anymore. Today I serve at notice. No weapon fashioned against me will prosper in Jesus' name. I take captive the thought of fear and anxiety it shall not torment me or rule me. The Bible said that fear hath torment. Have you read that? Anybody read the Bible before? Fear has torment. Torment doesn't mean a lake of fire or hell. Listen, there in those scriptures, torment means it's obsessive thoughts that control you and make you miserable and rule and reign in your life. It dictates to you every moment you make in the day. You're ruled by your thoughts and your imagination. How many understands that? So today, Jesus said men's hearts will fail them for fear because of, listen, wow, Jesus knew a few things. How many knows even he knows a few things? Jesus was talking about our times right here, because this is what Jesus said. Their hearts will fail for fear for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. Wow. You know, there's more people being treated for depression and anxiety than any time in the history of humanity. More in this country than any country, right? Combined in the world. I didn't make that up. I promise I didn't make it up. It's a real world. We're living in a real world. How many knows we're living in a real world? Get your head out of the sand and wake up, because we're living in a real world. These uncommon times are going to call for uncommon courage. Uncommon courage. Not just courage, but the courage that we need in the red zone. We're in our greatest potential to score. We're the greatest opportunity the church has ever known. This is the hallmark time. This is the time where we shine for Jesus. This is the time that we've got to give it our A game. We got to give it our best. This is a time that we got to quit fighting and bickering and quarreling with each other. This is a time you got to get over yourself and start being there for each other. Amen. Lay aside your petty differences, your hurts. If somebody hurts you, you go to that person, say, that hurt my feelings. You don't go out and put it on social media. That is not right. That is wrong. That is not the will and the word of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Man, the people's hurt me over the years. If I could just get on social media and just let them have it, what would that solve? Come on, what would that solve? That is being darkness in a dark world. That's not being a light in a negative dark world. How many knows there's a time and place? That's what Jesus said. There's seasons for everything. I don't know how I got off on that. Wow, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Okay. These are times that call for an uncommon courage. And we need the grit, the courage, and the resolve, and the strength of character to keep going. He said men's hearts will fail them because they're looking for the things on the earth. And the powers of heaven will be shaken. And people are looking to that. People looking that. This is a time when people are using the gospel to be more illiterate and more scripturally incorrect than any other time. Because that's the time when people get on there and they will put anything on there that gets you to pay attention to them. This is the time to have courage and stand on the word of God. This is the time to stand and on what God's word says. How many knows what man says and what God says are two different things? So you know what I choose today, dude? I choose to stand on the word. Because it's the word that's kept me through seasons of testing all these years. It wasn't the thoughts and devices of man that kept me going all those years. It was me hanging on to every jottle and every tittle of the word of God and not letting any word leave me. But I hid them in my heart. And I know that I mess up. I probably mess up more than anybody in here. But I'm going to keep on going. How about you? Are you going to keep going? This is the red zone. This is the red zone. Oh, wow. I don't know. Jesus is, man, he just throwing a curveball at me, and I'm trying to hit curveballs right now. I've not been a great curveball hitter over the years. Do you have the football player up there? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many knows that we need an uncommon courage in this day that we live in? Not like any other time, because these are not any other times. These are not any other times. God says, I want people who will go all the way. One of my favorite football players, and some of you have never even heard of him, and forgive me, ladies, for talking about football a little bit today. But his name was Walter Payton. He was a machine of a runner. He gained more yards, but you know what he's famous for? Gaining yards in difficult places. That's what he was famous for. He's the one who said that a coach said of him, I want somebody who's a 9-yarder. That means somebody who's willing, no matter how many times he gets knocked down, to keep getting back up and to keep going. So if addiction has knocked you down, I would recommend that you get back up and keep going. Recommend if sickness and disease has tried to knock you, get off that keyboard. If sickness and disease has knocked you down, to get up and to keep going. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't believe you're hearing me. If divorce has knocked you down, you get up and you keep going. Oh, Jesus. Give me somebody that'll run the 9 yards. And he gained more yards because he was the player that, I'm talking about the old Chicago Bears. I'm talking about the force team. Yeah, yeah. They could play with the Vikings and the Lions. I mean, that was football back then, man. I'm talking about, yeah. Yes, there you go. Who said that? Some people don't even know his name. Refrigerator Prairie. Wow. You know why he won a ring, don't you? Because he kept going. You know why you're going to get a crown? Not because you give up, because you kept going. Get back here, Michael. Come here a minute. I know I'll let you go so you can take your break. Come here a minute. I'm going to say something here, man. When medical science has tried to define you, And they've tried to build a box in and say, and in your mind, you're fighting against all kinds of thoughts. Come on, be real. Oh, we all act like we got it together until you get news that's not necessarily in your favor. But even when you hear the bad news, something inside of you, it's called grit. It's called Holy Ghost grit. In the name of Jesus, it's called grit. Something inside you. Something inside you rises up in you and say, I'm in the red zone. Whew. I see a score. I see a win. Yeah. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. I'm going to praise him more now than I ever have. Yeah, I'm going to praise him more. In the darkest of times, oh, we got to have grit to keep going. Paul and Silas, thrown in the inner prison. Wow. And they probably thought, well, we got these guys. Finally got rid of our trouble. Listen, real Christians are trouble that won't go away. I didn't read that anywhere. That just downloaded right there. You say, well, you know, Christians are not supposed to cause trouble. I'm not talking about negative trouble. I'm talking about trouble against the enemy that you're scoring against. You know what? Kathy, when you get up on Monday morning, the devil ought to tremble and quake. And you know what they ought to say? PJ, those demons say, oh no, PJ's, he's up. Oh man, he's up. He just spoiled my day by getting up. How many know, Steve, you can spoil. It's not just about a song, Run Devil Run, but it's about grit that lives inside of you, because that's what the devil fears. That's what the devil fears. He don't fear our words. He fears your actions. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, I'm ready right here.
And Dad, you're talking about all these people facing stuff against them.
I love it,
Heath. No, I need your advice here. What about the person who commits terrible sin? Should they just quit and go home, pack their bags? What do they need to do?
What say ye? Come here, Mrs. R. You're a teacher. Yes. We're still talking.
Say just made a mistake now. I said terrible sin.
All right, all right. Well, Christians are easy to say, I just made a mistake. No, you didn't. You sinned. I didn't just make a mistake. Sometimes I've deliberately made wrong decisions. Anybody real here with me today? Come on. I want you to write real big letters there. Keep going, teacher. Come on, Mrs. R. I tell you a story about, there was a student she had in her class years ago. Oh, and listen, I won't call out the name. I love him too much, but listen, you know, Mrs. R just had a way of looking at you. And she looked at this student. If I called his name, everyone in here that from Wise would know who he is, but I ain't going to say who he was. But he'd been dipping in the class. Yes, he and it was under his, it was in his lip there. And the thing you probably wouldn't have noticed any other time, except he had drool coming down. That was the color of what he had in his mouth, okay? Look, what did he say? I can't say it like you did. Where's that thing?
I called his name. I didn't say a word. And he looked at me. He said, that's why I've not been dipping.
The Lord calls our name. Oh, I swear I've not been sinning, Lord. I just made a mistake. Come on. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You royally messed up like I have a zillion times. Okay? So keep going. You did that. Keep going. Hang right there. Everybody say, keep going. You see, courage is a strength to keep going. It's the grit, the determination to keep going, no matter what is against you. The world is not for you. The devil's not for you. If you don't already know that right now, you are hurting for certain, okay? But we have to be determined to go on anyway, just like Walter Payton. This is what, hang on here just a second. Whew. I'm shaking right now. I'm telling you, man. Ooh, I've a glory and fire and nerves and all of it's right here coming down. Hallelujah. He was a Hall of Famer, Walter Payton. He gained 16,726 yards or 9 miles of rushing. You think that's not much, 9 miles. But if you're running with people in your face trying to take your head off, how many knows that's a long way to run? Okay? People hanging off of you. People grabbing you. People trying to take your head off. People trying to take you out. But he kept running. Most of his career, he didn't have those big high-paid offensive linemen there protecting him. They were way underpaid back there in those days, and they weren't blocking for him. But he run through people. How many knows God called us to run over some things? God called us to run through some things. Run through your difficulties. Run over your things. Don't let things overrun you. You get up and run over it. Hallelujah. Keep going. Everybody say, keep going. Man, I love that guy. He had another player that died of cancer, you know, Brian Piccolo, back years ago, back in the day. We often find it very difficult to run against things, against adversity. Because these things will either make us or break us. Hurts, problems, other people. Or we could say this, you know, all the times that he was tripped up, but he found a way to keep getting back up and going forward. Life is about tripping you up. Well, I don't know everybody. Back in the 70s, the hippie things, you know, I'm just tripping. You know, this is a different kind of thing. This is a different kind of tripping. I'm talking about when the devil sticks his foot out to deliberately take you down. It's time for we to recognize right here that it's time to not stay down, but to get back up and keep going hard. Step, run hard. This is a time to run hard. Hallelujah. Okay. Jesus. Oh, I promise you. So, when we stand before the Lord, I don't want to say he or she or that knocked me down. Guess what? It won't be a hill of beans when I stand before the Lord. Because you know what the word says? You'll be excuseless, oh man. That's not what I said. That's what the word says. So all these things that we dish out, I can't. We should say, I won't. You can do anything your heart says to through Christ Jesus. If you'll get grit, get a hold of, grab the grit, Say, I'm going to grab the grit. Hallelujah. Hurts, problems, other people. You can say, he or she tripped me up. I know you didn't plan some of the things that's happened in your life. You did. If everyone here could design your life, it would be a lot different than some of the places you've been in. How many is with me today? How many knows that? Come on. Would we have done some of the things that we have done? Would we have had some of the problems that we've had in life? No. Nobody designed that, but it happened. Life happens. Hurts happen. Problems happen. Death happens. Divorce happens. Sickness happens. Difficulties happen. Challenges happen. I can't say he or she tripped me up. I want the 9 miles. I want the 9 miles. I want to go the distance. I want to keep running. Yeah, there's going to be people hitting me. Oh, I've had, in the last 2 or 3 years, I've had so many things hit us. This ministry has had to, listen, some of the things that this ministry's been through would have already been taken down a long time ago. But God put something in the vision of this ministry to keep going. Keep going. Whoa. I promise I am not exaggerating. He keeps going. He keeps going. He keeps going. He keeps going. Life is 10% of what happens. This is what Heath was talking about. And 90% of how you respond to what happened to you. Are you going to stay down? Or are you going to be the 9-yarder that says, listen, there's a crown waiting on me up there. There's a city waiting on me up there. There's a home I've not been to yet waiting on me up there. I'm not going to get buried beneath my situations and my problems and my failures. I may have messed up today, but today I'm going to be determined. I say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Give me grace to get back up and to keep going. There's been some people. And little Monica, I know you might be listening in today. A little gal that works in a local convenience store that's been said she's going to try to come and be with us. I'm believing that she will. Because God has destiny and purpose for that young lady right there. Okay? And she's supposed to be listening in today. So if she's listening in, you got to keep going, Monica. You got to keep going. You got to keep going. You got to keep going. You got to get up and keep going. Shane's got to get up and you got to keep going. Oh, let's go the 9 miles. The fact is, Walter Payton was knocked down every 4.4 yards. So he wasn't a big, what you call a rusher that would just gain unsurmountable rushes and yards at a time. He just kept getting them 4 yards at a time. Oh, Jesus. You know, let's get up. Let's keep going. 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 Come on. Let's get up. Let's keep going. Let's get up. Let's keep going. Yeah! Baby, my praise is just getting cranked up. I said, baby, my praise is just getting started. Paul and Silas, well, we taking care of you. Here's the trouble, wouldn't go away. It's at the hour of midnight when the government thought, well, when the enemy had to shut their mouths, we're ready close. When the enemy had shut their mouths, put them in the inner stocks in the inner part of the prison, this is where nobody can hear them. Just so happened nobody told that to a guard or an officer inside the prison watching over them. They didn't know what was about to happen. So at their darkest hour, and they say, darkest hour. Oh, this is a time of testing. This is a time of endurance. This is a time of determination. This is not the time to tap out. This is a time to keep going. Lord, give us people who are 9 yarders. 9 milers, Lord, give us people who will run it 4 yards at a time if they have to. 4 inches at a time if they have to. They may be bloody. They may be messy. They may not look right. Their uniforms may be not polished and all shiny. They may have numbers torn off of them. They may have pads sticking out of them. They may have, things going on. But listen, give me the people that'll keep gaining the yards, keep gaining the yards, even in hard times. And so, at the hour of midnight, when they could have quit, complained, they could have been complaining to one another. Silas, I've never had such a hard day in all my life, Silas. Paul, I know what you're talking about, brother. Let me tell you about my plight. But at the hour of midnight, you know what? Grit rose up in these guys. And they chose. Did you find that up there, Miss Lakin, with the footprints? You know, did you find that? This is so important. Listen, at the hour of midnight, they could have chose to sit down and wallow in their difficulties and their plight. But you know what they did? They started to do. God turned their plight around. You know what turned their plight around? Their grit. God says, I'm going to turn somebody's plight around in here. I'm ready to change things. I'm ready to shift things in you. I'm ready to turn things over in your life because of your grit and your determination. So at the hour of midnight, they could have fed their fear. They could have gone the path of fear. Or at the hour of midnight, they decided to go down the road of courage. So at the hour of midnight, they didn't complain. They started singing a song of praise. They started singing their songs of praise. You know what? Some of you have hid your harp. You've hung your harp on the willow. It's time you go get the harp back off the willow and start singing your praise again. This is a time that you sing your praise. And when they begin to sing the praise, God began to shift. Boom, 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 boom. Do you hear what I'm saying? Boom, 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 boom. Something began to shake. Something began to shake. Something began to shake. And it wasn't my faith. It wasn't their faith. But their environment began to shake. Their circumstances began to shake. The enemy that had them locked there began to shake. Their place of captivity began to shake. And suddenly bars began to fall out. Stone and rock began to fall. Oh. It was an uncommon time, but these men had an uncommon grit and courage. And at hour midnight, they began to sing and praise Jesus. Let me tell you something. That was powerful this morning. That praise and worship that was echoing out of this place. Listen, the enemy was listening to that. He was hearing that. Yes. Listen, when things begin to shake, the devil's got to let go. You want him to get let go of your life. You begin to praise God. Start praising him. I dare you. I double dog. I triple. I quadruple. Whatever you call that. Dare you to start praising and worshiping God. Praise him. Walk in the grocery store, Food City. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. That the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in him. And be glad in him. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will be glad and rejoice in him. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. How many knows that this is your day? Come on! Come on! If you're sleeping through this, Lord help you. That's all I can say. We need a resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Helen. All right. Jesus, come here. I know the time it is. There are times that call for uncommon courage. These are the times that we must run toward the roar that's roaring against us. There's all kinds of scary noise out there. How many be real with me and hear me? I hear it all the time on Facebook. Well, I don't do Facebook, but things that Mrs. R shares with me. There's all kinds of noise. Social media, all kinds of noise. The news, all kinds of roar, roaring into our ear.
In the animal kingdom, lions are the only social cats. In other words, they live together in a group called the pride. Say pride. Okay. And they work together to feed one another, to protect one another, and to see that their needs are met. No other cat does that. Now, in their kingdom, they have young, healthy lions with strong, sharp teeth and fearful claws and muscles, and they're capable of taking their prey down. Also in the pride, there are old lions on their last legs without any teeth who can run only short distances, whose muscles have grown flabby. But the one thing these old lions have, even better than the young ones, is the roar. Their roar gets deeper and louder and travels further the older they get. An old male lion is able to roar and be heard 5 miles away.
Whoa.
The problem is that the gazelle and the antelope can run much faster than even the strongest, healthiest lion, which is good for the antelope if the pride doesn't work together. But the pride always does. So here's what they do. When they come across a herd of antelope or gazelle, the old lions get on one side of the field. And the young lions get on the other. And about the time that those gazelle run in to that field, the old lions begin to roar loudly. They give it all they've got. And for a moment, every animal in that herd freezes, and then they turn and run from the roar straight into the gapping jaws of the younger lions.
Did you hear that?
The young virile ones kill the prey and share it with the pride. The poor scared antelope, the poor scared gazelle, if it only knew to run toward the roar. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and 8 that the devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's a counterfeit, church. He's as a roaring lion. You are empowered with the Lion of the Tribe of Judah.
Yes.
And you, the church, run toward the roar with their sword in our hand, which is what? The Word of God. You pick up your sword of the Spirit, and together as a pride that functions as one, we run toward the roar. Rise up. This morning we're going to run toward the roar. Amen. Amen. Let's run.
Yes! Hallelujah! Come on, let's get to our feet. Come on, let's get to our feet. Come on, get to your feet. Hallelujah! God's looking for some 9 milers. He's looking for